Doug Christie.
He's a Hall of Famer, too, in my heart.
He's Jason Ross.
What Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Jump shot. Put us up, Chris, because we're back, baby.
Jumper wet.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome into the 4 o'clock hour here of the show. Jason Ross, Doug Christie coming to you from Golden One Center, where tonight it's the Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Another reminder, you want to play golf with us on Monday, the Make-A-Wish Golf Tournament. We're going to be out at Whitney Oaks Monday, May 17th, and you have an opportunity to play with us, to play with Doug and with me. A twosome is available, and it's your opportunity to help out the kids and help out Make-A-Wish. You just have to donate, and our bid, we're up to, I think last I saw, we had the 300 yesterday. I don't know if we have anything today, but we're going to set that bar at 300.
Okay.
So you got to go north of that. You can call in at 800-920-1140. Again, 800-920-1140, or text in at 916-339-1140. You can reach Doug or myself on our social media pages as well, anything on Twitter if you like. But it's next Monday. We're going to close this down on Thursday. And, opportunity to play with us, including some size 14 autographed Doug Christie golf shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. I'm ready. Me and you were playing prior to that, so we'll try to work on our game a little bit.
Four!
Bring the hammer out. Just go ahead and just
unleash the beast.
Yeah, you went and got new clubs, didn't you?
Not just for this.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
For a good cause. Absolutely. But at the same time. And the show is going to be on remote.
Yeah.
So
come out and say hi.
Play around.
Yeah.
Come see show.
Us. Be a nice day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Middle of May. It'll be beautiful. So another reminder on that throughout today and tomorrow. And then, of course, on Thursday when we close out the bidding for that. But, Doug, it is Tuesday. Let's do it with a little trouble.
Oh.
Or no trouble.
Man, this is my thing, baby.
We've got a developing situation.
You want trouble, you're going to get trouble.
Yeah,
we're all good.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
I think we have a serious issue.
Oh, I want trouble, all right.
Then you're going to get trouble.
No, everything's fine.
That's okay. Things are going to be okay.
I'm scared.
Trouble it is.
For you.
Don't!
Just relax, bro.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
This is trouble or no trouble.
Relax.
Well, fitting that last comment was from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, why would that be fitting?
Well, that'll lead into our first comment here from Trouble or No Trouble. It's basically a statement, and we weigh whether or not that statement is trouble or no trouble at all. So let's start with that. Devontae Adams' future with the Green Bay Packers. Trouble or no trouble?
A trouble!
Are they related to to Rodgers?
Yes, it is. You got to think that if he was telling, and I'm talking about Favre here, Favre.
Rodgers, I set you up
there.
Why
did you do that to me, man?
I don't know. Favre.
Okay, Favre. If Rodgers has been telling free agents that, hey, I might not know what's going on, you got to think that his best target in Devontae Adams is going to be kind of questionable. I think that Devontae having or making the comment about, what was he, a year away from free agency?
Yeah, I think this is the final year.
Yeah, final, like automatically it puts him in a real strong position because he is the guy there. And if you guys are flirting around with the fact that my all-world quarterback might not be coming back, that's affecting my money too. Because
yes.
I don't think that Jordan Love can drop dimes like this.
Yeah.
And some of those dimes were just because that guy is that good. There's trouble here.
I'm with you. I think there's trouble for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, the position of wide receiver lends itself to ego and diva and drama and all that. But I think since Devontae Adams has played with the Packers without Rodgers when he was hurt briefly that once, he knows – like, he knows he's an excellent receiver, but he also needs Rodgers. They need each other, and I don't think he's as bold enough to say, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Just it could be gone. Somebody throwing it, I'll go get it.
Right.
They need each other.
Yeah.
And so I think it's trouble if you lose Rodgers. This might be it for Adams.
Yeah. Well, this Rodgers thing is, from my understanding, he's kind of went, and then he backed away, and then he went again, and he kind of backed away, and we haven't necessarily heard from him.
We got to get through this month because when that money is a different animal to the Packers,
then
we'll see. Like if they're
where
we're not
going
to trade them, we're not going to trade them. Oh,
now all really? Of a sudden,
Denver was interested 3 weeks ago.
What is what's the prize? How much you giving me? Let's see real apples to apples, as they say.
All right, trouble or no trouble here, Doug. The future of the NBA play-in game. LeBron said, whoever made this up ought to be fired. Well, they're not firing that person. The future of the NBA play-in game. Trouble or no trouble?
Hold on. So the future is not in trouble.
A future of that game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is a thing going forward.
I'm with you.
And the reason I say that, imagine Lakers, Golden State, and in the Eastern Conference, who did we have yesterday?
We were talking about Washington and like Boston or something.
Okay. Yeah. Like, come on, man.
On a one-game situation.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, not only are you tuned in, that's like some of the biggest sponsorships. I mean, you're running out a whole package. Not to mention, have you seen the logo at the bottom of the screen? It's like NBA play-in. Uh-huh. You know, whenever you're starting to create stuff like that, it just lets you know that it's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
And it's intriguing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's much more to it. It gets more teams involved, more teams with an opportunity. But I also wonder, is this a situation where, let's take that Warriors and Lakers example, if that happens, and one of them's going to lose, not eliminated, but one of them would be out of that seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
But if the other team lost that second game
and
now is out of the postseason, like if that, let's pick the worst scenario, it's the Lakers. As much as Kings fans would enjoy that, would the league enjoy it? Man, we set this up, they would have been in as a seventh or eighth seed. But because they lost these two games, we don't have LeBron in there.
I get you, because now you
that's extreme.
You miss out on a series with
Phoenix
LeBron James. And yeah, I could see that. But that's
the
risk that you take. And also, I mean, like load management, these are things we're not hearing a lot about all this stuff, because I think that teams understand that they have to play their guys if they want to get into these. And it's keeping fan bases engaged and involved. Like, okay, this might not be a great example, but like last night watching Steph Curry, did you hear the arena there?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe I didn't text you. And like, do you know how many fans are there? I don't know.
I don't think it's more
seems,
than here.
It does. It seemed louder.
Yeah.
So if this was the situation and they were not in the play-in, mm-hmm. like they were outside of it, do you think it would have been rocking like that? Yep. Or let me take it to this. Do you even think Steph would have been playing?
Right. I don't think so.
No, he's playing at a really high level. This is a good thing.
Well, I'll even look at the two games we just had here. That Friday night game we were talking about with the Spurs, where it meant a lot. This was jumping.
It was, man.
For a small crowd. The Kings then turn around 2 days later and play great and dismantle a team. It was kind of...
Yep.
That's
Because the they're thinking, we got a chance.
Right. Right.
Now we ain't got no chance.
I'm enjoying the way they're playing, but oh well.
You know.
Yeah. That's going to be good. I'm looking forward to the playing game. All right. Let's go next to Trouble or No Trouble.
From Oakland, though.
Yes. The Oakland A's future in Oakland.
I'm going to say trouble.
Yeah.
I hate saying it because I see Jay and I see a lot of like serious Oakland A's fans, and my old college coach, my assistant coach in college, he was an Oakland A's. I got straight love, man. And I appreciate the fact that as a smaller market team, how they go about their business and stay competitive and just kind of like two to everybody, like whatever. I dig it. But when the big boss gets involved, It's going to be like, imagine you haven't been able to iron it out in all this time, but just because a big boss got involved, you're going to do it now. I just don't see that. And I see they're coming to like this tipping point, and unfortunate for that incredible fan base, I think it's going to go the wrong way.
Yeah. I'm with you in the sense it's definitely trouble to exactly the way you stated that it's on every single person's radar. Now that could go in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it hasn't gone that way now, the fact that you've lost two other professional sports teams in the last couple of years, I'm optimistic, but I'm very doubtful on this. I hope it works. I hope it works for them, but I think it's definite trouble. By the way, 4,100 people at that Warriors game yesterday, so there were more.
Okay,
quite a few more.
Explain to me then. how can they have more fans? And because their fans wanted to come to the game?
Well, I know they're doing. Well, no, the Kings are doing some testing here too. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I remember their owner was very bullish. Do you remember the interview with him? He was like, "Yeah, I think we can have full capacity because," and he's an epidemiologist.
Right,
he's
they've done all this stuff. Yeah,
he's like ahead of the curve. So okay,
they're sending out kits, if I'm not mistaken, to everybody and.
Okay, so they're going the extra mile to make sure that they can have as many, and it's the money thing. And okay,
yeah,
I got you.
They're spending.
Come on, let's get at it.
Let's go.
Put them back in their place. We need to put them back in their place.
All right, here's some more trouble or no trouble. The Oakland A's lead in the American League West, and that is brought up because today they are beginning a series with the team with the best record in the American League, and that's the Boston Red Sox. But as the A's lead. In the AL West, trouble or no trouble?
I don't think it's trouble. You know why?
They're good?
They're good, but also, they're not as bad as they started.
Right, right.
And that's a blip, right? Similar to now I'm not comparing them to the Kings, but similar to the Kings. What was their start? It was
0-6.
0-6. Let's just say they go 500. They win three of those. Where is that?
Oh, now you're totally
right.
You're about six games ahead already.
Exactly. So I think that's who they are. And unfortunately, they got out to that start. But yeah, you know, no more slamming your pinky.
Right.
Okay. Let's pump our brakes on that. And this is a really good and solid ball club that, I don't think the Astros are the Astros of years past.
Yep.
I think they're good. But they're not like,
and they already beat the A's in three of those first six. So like, that should have done even more damage than it did.
Yeah, even like my team, the Mariners, we took two or three from them. I think last year or the last couple years in a whole season, we only beat them like twice. So it was you match up with them like 18 times, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it was 16-2 or something. It was something crazy. So you already see that the teams are moving up, and I would say for the A's, nah. No trouble here. Okay. Biggest trouble is paying your house note right now.
Right. They got bigger
concerns. Where are we laying our head down at?
And I know Bob Melvin, who's always been good at this kind of stuff, he had the right approach. He's like, none of that is going to distract us. We have to
play. Oh, I like it.
And he tacked it right on. I was like, we're here to play. I mean, and that is the reality. Now, the media may end up asking about it, but that happened to Jason Thompson, Dante Green, DeMarcus Cousins. As fans, everybody was living it. A lot of those guys weren't from here, and they had to answer questions that they literally had zero impact on.
Right.
So it's like, Doug, are you going to be able to, you know, what would it be like if this team moved? Like, you're just going to, who am I guarding tomorrow?
Right.
I mean, that's your
concern. I mean, for Bob, Bob's been there for a while, but listen, just attack the elephant in the room and just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And if they still ask it, you're already on record, and you can kind of keep it moving as opposed to trying to avoid it. It almost brings more toward you.
Yeah, and then if there's news later that, hey, it's going this direction, then you attack it
then.
All right, trouble or no trouble, speaking of the lead in the West. How about the NL West? The Giants lead in the NL West. Giants won again today in a day game. They beat the Rangers 4-2. So with the big dogs behind them. The Dodgers and the Padres.
This is trouble.
Oh, it's still trouble.
Yeah, it's still trouble.
So this different than the. Why is this different than the A's? Because I agree with you. I think it's trouble. But why in your mind?
Now they could prove us wrong, and
they have so far longer than I thought. Yeah. Well, that's good. Good for them to get to first. I won't last, but it's lasted longer than I thought.
I think that the Padres are who we thought they were, and they're going to be solid in the long. Both of them, the Padres and the Dodgers. This is more a long play for them. Like the Dodgers, World Series champs, get there a couple times. Don't get. It's like they're finding motivation at this particular time. As things start to heat up, I think that they ultimately will be. Okay, unless the Giants are, and they're defining themselves right now. So maybe this is who they are.
Yeah,
but they're going to have to prove it over the long haul. I think that we've seen the A's do this time and time again. I even think that the A's are better than they are because I don't think that they are 0-6. I think let's go 3-3. At 3-3, they're even better than they are right now. So for the Giants, I think a little trouble here.
Yeah, I think this is a trouble too. I think it's a testament to the division. I'm impressed with what the Giants have done. Their pitching has been great. They've got enough hitting. Buster's having a revival season. But it's probably more of the belief in what the Dodgers are and what the Padres could be. Whereas the A's, you know, Seattle's had a nice year.
Mm-hmm.
Astros, Angel. Yeah. I do think the A's are the best team in the division.
I totally agree with you. And I think that they not only playoff experience before and all these different things, there was a, you know, you had Bumgardner talked about should you trade him and bolster your minor leagues and different things. You didn't choose to do that. And so, and all of a sudden you come out and you kind of come out swinging. Now does everyone know who you are and it changes? They're continuing to win, so maybe they define themselves, Jason, as this is who they are. I'm just saying that we've seen the Dodgers. We're looking at the Padres. I think that they will run their course over the time of a year.
All right, more trouble or no trouble, Doug. More athletes accepting cryptocurrency as their form of payment.
I'm with that.
Because just for that story, Kansas City Chiefs, they did cut their tight end, Sean Culkin, who wanted his salary paid in Bitcoin. Now, he was a fringe player anyway, but he's one of the first players to say, yeah, if I, you know, I would like my money paid in Bitcoin.
What? Yes.
So you think this is no trouble? More people are going to do this?
Yeah. Like, you know, for like at the Kings, if they offered that, like I probably wouldn't take all my salary. But
yeah, like as an incentive, yeah, or if I break a record or a bonus, that kind of thing.
No, I'm saying me right now.
Oh, current Doug Christie, analyst Doug Christie.
Give me 10%. I'll take 10% of my money.
Wait, is that a thing?
Can I
check that box?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm just saying I have some contacts and a few folks that I talk to on a daily basis when I come around these parts and we talk about this type of stuff.
Because you want to be in the Bobby Bonilla contract when you go, man, remember when I signed up for that?
Uh-huh.
And then 25 years later, I'm still getting paid for that?
I think
that's interesting.
I think it's a thing. I mean, could you see like what you were just saying? Like guys are like, okay, like yeah, if I get a bonus, pay my bonus in Bitcoin, you know, 25% of my contract paid in that. I just think that we're coming into new areas that, like, don't be the get off my lawn guy, okay? Because this is not that time right now. Let's step your game up. Let's move out. Like. They're doing things out here. Let's go.
Yeah, I think that was very creative, especially of him. He was a fringe player. I don't know what kind of money he would have gotten if.
So.
That's pretty cool.
Right now, Bitcoin is about $67,000 a share, I think.
Okay.
When I was first told about this, it was under $1,000.
Wow.
Okay.
How long ago was that?
That was about 8 years ago, or maybe a little longer.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that growth. And then if you like just look it up, I mean, they talk about it could be at some point be $1 million a share. So if that guy got paid like, say, 6-7 Bitcoins and he got, what's that, 42,000, what are they, 50,000? And then it's worth $8 million, like he wins.
Absolutely.
I'm so here for it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And, I mean, doesn't the organization win too?
Yeah.
In a sense, probably. Because you've already, you know.
It's no doubt. So, you know,
interesting.
I know Vivek listens to us. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, 10%.
There you go.
Yeah. Or you could just.
15. Excuse me.
I mean, I'm also about, as Mark Jones says, the greatest nation.
Uh-huh.
Donation.
A little bonus for the broadcast team. All right, trouble or no trouble? Russell Westbrook's brand new triple-double record. Remember, it was the unbreakable record. Is it trouble or no trouble?
That's a good one.
Because you know why, and I'm
so it took 47 years.
Yes.
Okay.
And here's why I'm gonna why I brought this up because I got that.
Now
the
you
rabbit.
Answer first. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna say trouble, though I don't know how much I believe in this, why I'm saying it. But why I'm saying it is because of hearing about Oscar Robertson getting all of his in the front part of his career, Russell Westbrook getting most of his in the back end of his career. So he's at 182 now, right?
Okay.
He's broken the record.
All right.
Which is a really amazing number considering where, you know, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, LeBron's at 99. He's not going to catch him. But then I look at currently, right now, ninth place, active player, likely MVP this year. Nikola Jokic, 56.
Yeah,
he's 56.
Yeah,
he's at 14 this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh huh.
So let's just give him 14 next year. And 14. I mean, he's got to really go.
Uh huh.
Luka is in the 30s. He's really young.
Yeah.
He's triple double watch. Both those guys are triple double watch every night.
He's hungry.
I'll say trouble, but I'm not sure I believe in it. I think. Now it's also gotten a lot of love, as it should. Westbrook deserves this. But now it's like, oh, maybe I can go get that.
I'm going to say I'm going to say no trouble here. Okay. And the reason that
he's also going to push this more.
And I was just about to say to you, how many years you think Russ got left?
4.
Okay. So I'm going to give him 40 per year. So that's another 160.
When he just did 180 total?
Yeah. So because each year I give him half. Let's just say he goes half. Okay. He's averaging it for a whole year. Yeah. But in a year, let's say he gets 40. Okay. Even if you gave him 30, okay? So 120 to 160 you put on top of that, we're talking over 300. Okay. That's what we're talking. I think the game is going to change. I think the game is more suited to triple-doubles.
I agree with that.
But I think also the 181 that was more difficult to get, the 300 that's easier to get is equatable. And I think that we're going to be looking at another, what did you say, 74 years?
Or
47, whatever it is.
You know who might average a triple-double next year, just thinking about it, is Harden. A full year with Brooklyn.
Yeah, I could see that. I totally could. The one thing is you got to handle the basketball a lot.
Luka, Jokic.
Yep.
I mean, and Harden's up there in the, I think he's around 80s.
Yeah. But I think also.
He's at 58.
This is, Harden's hit it. He's on the.
Same with Russ.
I mean, he might be right at 9, around, going to play the backside here. Yeah. But the point is he's not anywhere close. And Russ is, that's the key here to your question is.
Is like Russ at this point, like where Jokic is, I think Russ had like 2.
Yeah.
And Jokic has 56.
Yeah. So if you said this was it, 82, I'd say trouble.
Okay.
But the fact that he's about to put some respect on it.
200 and 300 maybe.
Yeah. I think that this gets to 300 by the time he's done. And if that's the case, I'm saying trouble.
Like
it's going to be a while.
Okay, a couple more here. Trouble or no trouble. Ben Simmons as the defensive player of the year. It seems like it's between him and Gobert. But I'll just lay it this way as a statement. Ben Simmons is defensive player of the year.
I think no trouble. I think he is a defensive player of the year. But I think he's been injured. And I think that you got to put some respect on the fact that Rudy Gobert has the number one team in the NBA. And it is all anchored.
Yeah,
by his defense.
Number one team in the East, though, Philly?
Yes, they are. But
Embiid gets a lot of attention offensively.
Yeah, this is – so I think he's going to get it. I do.
Simmons?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to get it. I just think that we may need to put a little respect on Rudy Gobert's name. And I even go this far. I don't know Ben Simmons is the best defender on his team.
Thybulle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly think – Matisse Thybulle is a better defender than Ben Simmons is.
So you're coming around. The Sixers over the Nets.
No.
That was my roundabout way to try to get there.
But how about that?
Exactly.
I mean, really, like Ben is going to get it, and I see the defense, and he is really good on defense. He is not Matisse Thybulle.
Mm.
Like, if I could steal that dude, done.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm telling you, because he's going to get better defensively. I like that. He's going to get better offensively. But defensively, the instincts, staying in front of a player, can guard every – he can pretty much guard every position on the floor, similar to Ben.
Yeah.
From 1 to 5. Now, 5 he's going to have a little problem with, but his track down ability, like the coming back after De'Aaron gets by him and block, like those are do you see anybody else doing that to De'Aaron? Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So he's going to be the defensive player of the year and the second best defender on this team.
That's funny. I think it's trouble. I think Gobert will win. I think there's too much of a – I don't like it. There's just the infatuation with the rebounding and blocks and bigs. But I have admiration.
Are you trying to take me
back? No, I have admiration for the wing guys, for what Simmons does.
Thank you, because I was robbed.
Yeah.
There's another Ben. There's another Ben that got me.
Yeah. All right, trouble or no trouble here, Doug. The most no-hitters in a season, well, since 2000 – that number is 7 in 2012. Right now there's been 4. Is it trouble or no trouble? That mark in trouble or no trouble?
It sounds like, okay, 4.
4 to 7.
They're rare. They are. I'm going to go trouble. I don't think past it, but I think that'll be the magic number. I think
that's cool.
Like the over-under, like for Chris,
It's the number.
He is the number.
Yeah.
It's right on it.
Yeah. The league has turned into home run or strikeout for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
I think it lends itself to someone being on their game, and that's why we're getting some of these no-hitters.
No doubt. Because they're not thinking. Like, did you see them bunt the other night versus Kershaw?
Yeah.
He's like, look at the scoreboard.
Right. Like, what are you doing?
Right. But the game isn't played that way, where you're just going to move somebody over, try to get on base, you know, Ichiro just slap at it and get it out into right field or whatever. It's they're swinging for the fences, so that takes the strikeouts to a higher level. So, yeah, I think this they'll get there. I just don't think that – I think that is the number.
Okay. Last one on trouble or no trouble. Tomorrow the NFL schedule will be released, and traditionally that first game is the champs at home. So that's the Buccaneers. We know their home portion of their schedule. So I just picked one of them as a potential, I think, highlight game. You tell me if this is trouble or no trouble. The Buccaneers opening up the season versus the Bills in the NFL season opener.
No.
You don't like it?
I don't.
All right. Here are my other candidates then. Do you think the NFL is going to do Cowboys?
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Off their season versus the Bills, Josh Allen?
Yeah, but...
Saints? Jameis' first game against his old team?
Nope.
Or the Bears?
The Bears. No.
Those were like the Dolphins. I mean, this to me, I go, it's the Bills. They were in the AFC Championship.
I don't see. I mean, listen.
Tom Brady's beaten 1,000 times.
It would probably be a better game. But this was, it's the Cowboys.
Okay.
Everybody wants to see the Cowboys, man.
You can honestly put the Bucs against anybody or anybody on anybody that Thursday night people are watching. NFL.
You're right. But they are. But there's a. Okay. There's a thing there.
But the Cowboys didn't make the playoffs. The Bills were in the AFC Championship game.
You didn't mention the Seahawks? What's wrong with you?
They don't play them.
Okay. Not this year? 49ers?
Nope. Not an option.
Damn. Okay. Well, yeah, the Bills, that would be a great
one. Yeah.
But
they're going to play anyway.
But. It'll mark my word, it'll be the Cowboys.
Okay. We'll find out tomorrow when the NFL schedule is released. All right. Break time for us. Again, want to tell you Capital Casino is now open with their outdoor gaming venue at 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. Still have Chris's over-under and the crossover to get to this hour. When we come back, we'll revisit the issues with the stadium in Oakland for the A's and their future when we come back here on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Again, coming your way at the top of the hour. We'll have game night. Scott Marsh and the High Flyer. At 5:30, G-Man will have the call of the Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Huh.
That's all coming your way.
Yeah.
And we also could tell you that Grill, Fire Pit, Outdoor Heater, Cinch is the 100% answer.
Cinch! Jason!
Cinch.com.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. That's all right.
You sounded the bell.
Yeah.
You got everybody's attention.
Well, you know what?
What?
They need to get at it.
That's right.
I'm up here. Get at me. Huh?
Well, there's going to be people getting at the A's here, Doug, because today's news that we brought up in First Things First, the Oakland A's will start exploring relocation possibilities Major League Baseball suggested the organization consider moving to other cities if the Howard Terminal Stadium proposal is not approved by local politicians. A little bit more on that. While the A's have expressed that remaining in Oakland and building a $12 billion mixed-use development is their priority, the standstill of the project prompted today's move. The leading contender, if the A's do move, Las Vegas, plenty of other cities would welcome the team, too. That's all from
Jeff Passan. Pump your brakes, pump your brakes. So when you started that, you said, I think you used the word explore?
Exploring relocation possibilities.
So who is doing that? Did you say the A's are doing that?
That's the way this was worded.
Okay.
But,
words mean.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's an A's / MLB, but probably the A's. I mean, let's draw parallels. I mean, I guess when you say, like here, the Kings started looking elsewhere. Okay, that's really the Maloofs, but they did. And Seattle was very interested. It nearly happened.
Vegas reached out
to the Raiders, or Raiders reached out to Vegas. That became a...
So tell me this. So A's have an ownership. Is it group, person? I don't...
It's they're probably always a group, but they have one. I think it's Fisher is the main name, yeah.
Okay, so is this a family deal that's been passed down?
I don't know the entirety of that, but they've been in this kind of situation for a while where many people have suggested changing ownership.
So real quick, it's John Fisher is the majority owner of the A's.
Let me ask you something, Jay. I'm glad you jumped on.
But there's a group, yes.
There's a group. I got you.
There's always a group. Yeah.
Always. Do you think, Jay, as our representative A's fan, that Mr. Fisher is sitting at the crib right now with a drink twinkling his toes because he's been waiting for something like this to happen?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. I see, that's a little different, Jason.
Yeah, I think I've sat here for, you know, the last couple hours just trying to really get a grip on what both of the angles you guys are coming from, everything you're saying, and reading and trying to get an understanding. From my understanding, this is something that the A's, and Chris said this great, the city of Oakland wants the A's to build where they're at right now. The A's do not want to be there. And so every single time you hear the city say, well, we already have a site. It's already ready to go. You can knock it down. We'll get it going. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with the Oracle, but they want the location where the Coliseum and the Oracle to stay where it is. They don't want to expand. They want the team to build there. The A's organization does not. And for good reason, they want to go to where the gentrification, the new building of where Oakland is going on, which is Jack London Square. Mm-hmm. You know, so many things are condos, all these different things popping up on that side of Oakland. And so I can understand what the A's and John Fisher are trying to do. They had the Fremont site ready to go. The Giants, the sucker Giants blocked it, you know, and that's the way that went. But for some odd reason, the A's do not want to play ball where they've been – you know, pushed to try to make the Coliseum be, which is where the current location is right now. And so I think that's the big argument amongst, because from everything that I've read, seen, understand, we've had Dave Cavill on, they've all said, and you just read it, Jason, they're privately going to fund the arena. Now, of course, we all know that means something's coming from the city. We get that. But for the majority, what they're saying is it's going to be our money. So I don't understand why the city of Oakland does not want that arena to be at the Howard Terminal. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and the longer they play around with that, Jay, if we go to history, like for the Raiders, for example, a lot of what happened for them in Vegas was all done by Vegas. Like that
Correct.
Wasn't even a lot
city.
Of the Raiders' money.
Right.
So if the A's are in a spot where they're willing to do the
same thing with the Warriors too, by the way.
Right. If they're willing to do this, whatever the figure I said, $12 billion multi-use multiplex kind of community park there at Howard Terminal, whereas let's throw Vegas again and they'll say, hey, we'll build you all this and you basically just have to show up.
Then where do you go?
Right.
You head out of town.
Right. Someone
where
else
you
is going to build you the best house you
it.
Can do and you don't have to spend any money on it, or limited.
Let me ask you this, Jay. So if the A's move from Oakland to Vegas, for instance, what do you think happens to the value of the organization?
Well, it goes up. The Fisher family, you know, got their money from Gap. So while some people have been struggling through the pandemic, John Fisher's value, quote unquote, according to Forbes, has went up a little bit.
Right.
So I think if you go to Vegas, it moves up automatically. As you see with Mark Davis, you know, his net worth is going to move up with Las Vegas. I just think same thing with the Raiders situation. The Oakland A's fans, and this just could be me speaking as a fan. The one thing that the Oakland A's fans have, they're a loyal bunch. And you said this earlier in the show, D. I don't know how many Oakland A fans there are, but they're a loyal bunch. They are a loyal bunch. I think if the A's move to a Vegas, a Portland, a Vancouver, you know, already Louisville, some other different places that they've thrown out, Sacramento, people will move with them. But I do think they'll take some slack when it comes to, like, and I'll be honest, I've been a lifelong A's fan all my life. If they moved out of California, I would probably think twice. I probably wouldn't root for them as much. If they stayed in California, Fremont, Sacramento, you know, same thing. I'm all in. But if they leave and let's just say they go to Louisville, I don't know, man. I'll be honest. Yeah. I just can't see it.
And the only thing I can think of is, as a example, guys, is, you know, when the stuff was going on with the Kings, the few people that were decision makers that I did get a chance to talk to during that time, like political leaders, that wanted the Kings to say, Doug, the thing they said, Moy, I do not want them to leave on my watch. You know, that's not foolproof, because obviously I would think there are some people in Oakland that want to keep that team. But would you want to be on that committee, that council that lost three teams?
Oof.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that is. How much of it, Jay, when you talk about the present site that it's on, is it just the location and not being involved in that whole gentrification movement? Because that location in and of itself, let's say that you knocked everything down, you already have parking, different things, all that type of stuff. BART comes, drops you off. Would the new site have all those same type of amenities?
Well, I think that's part of the situation is from my understanding, the A's are selling it as yes, and we would build it up as we seen with Doko. Things around it would build up. And I think, you know, me and Chris were saying, we were talking about this off the air. When you really look at most arena and stadiums, for the most part, they're always either downtown or they're on the same lot as two or three. So like how Philadelphia, there's two or three arenas right next to each other, right? Then the link is kind of by. So there's like always that. Doko's kind of by itself. You're really not going to put another arena downtown. It's going to have to go somewhere else as seen with Sac Republic. So then you have teams, i.e. Tampa, who seem to struggle where it's not even in Tampa, but it's so far away from the community or it's harder to get to. And those seem to not do well. Like the Pistons didn't seem to do well when they were in Auburn Hills. Yeah. But now they're downtown, Little Caesars. You know, I don't know. But I think
everything's moving that way, though. Yeah, Everything's moving back in.
I think that's where the A's kind of feel, you know, they're like, look, we want to kind of get where the traffic is coming. Right. But 98th Street, Hagenberger, right there, you know, that's still – that's East Oakland, but that's Oakland. You're not. It's so, you know, the Bay Area is so close together where you just you go Oakland to Hayward to Fremont to Union City, you know, Newark, all these different places that you really don't leave the community. But I do think for some odd reason the A's just don't like, and it could be, you know, the crime-impoverished East Oakland is not the best look. You know, they don't have a lot of hotels around there. A lot of people who come visit, and i.e. for the Warriors, they would stay in San Francisco and drive to the games. I think that's kind of one of the things the Warriors talked about quite a bit. And I think now with the Howard Terminal going up, I think they'll be able to build the Sawyers, so to say, you know, the Westons, you know. And so I think that's kind of where the A's are thinking. And again, if you've been to Oakland in the last, just say, year or two, the gentrification of what's going down in Jack London and Lake Merritt and so much around there, that's where all the money's going. You know, a lot of it's not going in East Oakland right now.
Hey, that's a hell of a BART ride from downtown San Francisco to the Coliseum.
Man, it is.
I gave my son that ride.
Man, come on now. Candles and chicken, baby.
Hey, candle and chicken wings, baby. And no shirt. It was a hell of a ride.
So I think that's the issue. I think they're having some issues internally with the A's. I won't say issues, but I think they're having discussions internally with the A's and saying, look, we want to be where the traffic is going, where the new, you know, the look is going to be compared to, well, the Raiders left, the Warriors left.
Hey,
why would we want this? Even though it could be all ours.
One more question for you, Jay. What's this been going on? 6-7 years?
Oh, longer than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even
20.
Since I've been here, probably. Okay.
Yeah, 20,
so
man.
Now,
easy.
Finally, Major League Baseball gets involved. What do you think that the time frame is on this now? Is this something that gets done relatively quickly, meaning like
one way or the other?
Poop or get off the pot.
Yeah. I think so. In my opinion, I think. You know, and Dave Cavill and the A's released something saying that 2024 is the end of the lease. 2027 would be the earliest that the new ballpark would be able to be built, which to me, that seems like a long time away. But I do think, yes, I think the A's want to figure it out. Like, look, we want to figure it out. I'm not sure what the city of Oakland wants to. I know we had Mayor Libby Schaaf on like right when she kind of got elected. And I think there was a morning show. Maybe we put her on. Yeah, I can't remember if we had her on on this show, but I remember her basically kind of saying like, look, over my dead body, for lack of a better term, I'm not going to let the A's leave. And so I just don't know. I don't see how the city of Oakland, who to me, and this is even deeper, I think they've always kind of been the little brother to San Francisco. Yeah. And I think they kind of like, look, man, we're not going to lose the A's. If nothing else, the A's have been here. We're rocking with the A's. The Raiders have already left. You know, the Warriors are kind of Johnny come lately, and you know, they went over there to San Francisco, but the A's are Oakland. Like, I thought the Raiders were Oakland, but the A's is a little deeper in Oakland. Like, they've had success, and I'm not saying the Raiders didn't, but the A's for a long time was Oakland.
Yeah.
But I think it happens soon. I think the A's want to know very fast.
Yeah, well, we'll see where this story goes. Obviously, a development there with the future of the A's. All right, break time for us. We'll come back. We still have the crossover from the morning. And Chris will give us his over-under for tonight's game before we get you to five on it.
Oh, buddy.
That's all coming up here on KHDK.
No friends. Close personal friends, like super tight.
Yes.
10 toes in the sock.
Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Can you say for our TV audience what you told me, or is that a secret? It's fine. They get to watch. They could see that. We want them to listen to the game, but we also, if they check out the game.
I don't know.
Okay. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, guys.
I'll just act like I hell don't know.
We'll leave it out.
Yeah. Okay. I just put him onto something. Now he wants me to put everybody onto something.
I didn't know. Well, we won't go any further. It's the Kings and the Thunder.
The battle.
The Kings and Thunder tonight. We're going to get Chris's over-under here in a moment for tonight's game. See how we do on that. He got us the last time. So let's get the crossover from the morning show.
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover. Do you believe it? Here's today's crossover.
DC, Jason, hope you guys are having a great show. So with today's news that the A's can now explore relocation, in the off chance, the slim chance that the A's were to relocate to, I don't know, Sacramento, Doug and Jason, would you guys forfeit your fandoms of the Mariners and the Yankees and become Sacramento A's fans? Have a good show, gentlemen.
No.
Wow.
No. Oh, would you?
No.
Oh,
wow.
But I will say this. I've become a fan of the A's.
I was just about to say, I'm like an undercover A's fan.
Me too.
You're the
Jason Ross of the Mariners, right?
A spy?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what he did there. No, I am. Couple reasons, okay? Number one, part of my people, leave him hanging, part of my people, like Jay, A's fan.
Yeah.
But green's my color. That's my thing.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, green, that's my favorite color.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I kind of, see, there you go, G-Man.
He's got green.
Yeah, and that's a Seahawk green right there. That is well played, sir.
But you would like, when they played the Mariners, you'd root for the Mariners, but every other time you'd be
rooting
for the A's.
Oh, no doubt.
Which is kind of what I am now. Yeah. I like the A's.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm a Yankees fan.
So, green is your favorite color. What's your favorite word?
Yeah.
It's a very popular song.
Yeah.
Why you gotta say it like short? what is wrong with him?
I would enjoy them here, though.
Oh man, that would be spectacular. Yeah. See, and that would be part of the thing. Like, I could go to a game.
Absolutely, that's the best part.
So I would have a shirt on, and underneath the shirt, I'd have a green A's shirt on.
I wouldn't want the A's here.
Why?
I'm sick of the Bay Area coming into Sacramento all the time.
You talking about transplants, huh?
Yeah.
You having some issues? Chris?
Then they come to Sacramento, live in Sacramento, and say, oh, Sacramento's a barrier. Get out of here.
Wow.
Go move to Napa.
Man. God, you got to make me swallow.
Yeah.
Chris, you know, sometimes, Chris, when you say stuff, I can tell that you've thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's on your mind.
That's legitimate venom behind that.
Would you like to talk about it sometime, maybe?
I think I am talking about it, am I?
He's verbalizing all this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot we were on.
Yes.
My bad.
Well, Chris, do you have an over-under for tonight's game for us?
I do have an over-under for tonight. We were talking earlier that Buddy Hield is going for the all-time Kings, Sacramento Kings 3-point record.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many is he away, Jason?
Let's see. I think he was, 18 from tying Page, or 18 from moving ahead of Page, I think 17 from tying him.
And he went 4 for 10
the last game.
Is that right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
He's and how many? Four games.
So, and four how many games 10. Are left?
Four games.
And four games.
So he needs to average around 5-ish to get past.
Yeah. Yep.
So my question is, over under for tonight, Buddy Hield, 4.5 3-pointers.
Ah, perfect number.
Yeah.
Perfect number.
I'm going over, Chris, right away. Buddy's coming out on fire.
Yeah, you know? he's got to build a cushion.
Yeah, and
he can have like an eight. He's gonna have a big number tonight.
Yeah, I could see 7-6 something like that. I'm going over, Chris.
Seven or six.
Don't let me down, Shivano.
Yeah, I'm going over. Even though he's on one leg, and if they're mathematically at one magic number, do they shut him down?
You know what I think? And I've said this many times, and you've heard me. Huh? Oh, okay. Tyrese Halliburton will be on with Mark and I in the second quarter tonight.
How about that? That's cool.
How about that? Yeah. So we're going to have camera on him. I'm sure he'll be down in the red zone. We'll be up top. So a little interview, talk a little bit, see his TV chops, mm-hmm. see how he does. I'm sure he's going to be spectacular. He is a really good interview. So that should be a lot of fun. But my thing for
Buddy?
Buddy is, I've said this, Buddy has been playing a really good floor game. He's been taken what the defense gives him, and I say that it'll come back around. And I think that so many Kings had a really good game the other night, they're going to let off a Buddy a little bit. And when you do that, he gets you.
Jay's got the under.
Under.
All right. Jay is by himself. One under, two over. So Chris can't get a sweep on us tonight.
Jay, like me, single child. Being by yourself is not a big deal.
That's right. All right, that's it for this hour. We'll come back. We will have Five on It to lead you up to game night. We're getting closer to the Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Five on It is next here on KHDK.